Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. And my co-host today is Dave Allen. And we will bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political news and events. And today is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Melody.
And boy, oh boy, what a wild day in the markets today, I'll tell you. And, you know, I really thought gold would be taking a beating today after Jerome Powell, I guess, is on the Hill speaking in front of Congress or made a statement. And he says, we don't have to worry about inflation. I saw the headline and I thought, there goes gold. There goes silver. But I was surprised. Yeah, we had a $5 pullback in gold. Not so bad. 1806. Silver was down 45 cents. It's $27.75. Platinum was down 34 at 1,242. And palladium, you know, took the big drop, 45 at 2,384. And so I was really quite surprised. Gold and silver did very well. And the dollar on that news was only up 0.05 at 90.12. Crude oil was up another 32 cents at 62.02. So, you know, the more they talk, Dave, the more things they say, the more it just confirms that my suspicions of what we face in the near future are accurate, that we definitely do have a lot of problems, and they really are just juggling the books, just trying to do to keep this going. And they'll, and again, Greenspan says it's not so much what we do, it's what we say.
E.F. Hutton, where are you?
And, yeah, really. So it just really is, you know, just like Janet Yellen, couple of weeks ago, a month ago, she says, oh, Bitcoin, no, you know, that's terrible. Yeah, that, we're not going to allow that to happen. And, oh, a month later, it's like, oh, you know what, maybe we should be doing something. You know, it's just, it's really kind of funny. But it isn't if you're invested in the markets. But when you have your gold and silver and you can sit back and watch the circuits, it's a whole lot more fun. It's a lot more fun watching the circus than being involved in the circus.
So. No.
Anyway, the Dow was down, was up 14 points, but it was down almost 400 on the day until he came out and made those statements. And 31,536. The NASDAQ was down a couple hundred points, or I think almost 300 points earlier in the day. It's down 67 points at 13,465. The S&P was up 4. At 3,881. 10-year yield, 1.36. And, well, really isn't much more to say about that, do. The Bitcoin was down earlier in the day, I don't know, 12, 13, 15%. Right now we're looking at 48,000, down almost 11%. So it's interesting to see Bitcoin fall as much as it did when the Dow was falling also. So there you go. So safe haven, not so much, not so much. And so I don't know what all we have. Do you have anything on what Jerome Powell
yes.
spit out today?
Yes.
All righty.
You mean, do I want to say something now, or do we have...
No, we're going to talk about it here in a couple minutes. So.
Yeah, yes.
All right, let's get through the housing prices. Again, they're rising. Price gains didn't slow down one bit at all in 2020. In fact, they rose at the fastest pace in 7 years. You had home prices. They nationally increased 10% compared with December of 2019. And... this is the strongest annual growth rate in over 6 years, and we'll see what happens when those rates are now beginning to climb. If we're going to get the same type of report the next time, and the 10 city composite of annual increases was up almost 10%, 9.8, up from 8.9 in November. So it just surprises me that you'd have that many reports with such bad weather. Even though we've been having bad weather for more than just a week, you know, across this nation. So surprisingly, Dave, that they're as strong as they were. Although when you see Phoenix, their prices rose a little over 14%. So maybe you have to be in the warm weather cities to have those strong gains.
Well, maybe, but Seattle, they rose 13.6. It certainly isn't the snowiest region in the country, but it is one of the rainiest. Probably a city with among the best views in the entire country. 18 of the 19 cities surveyed reported higher price increases in the 12 months ending in December versus the 12 months ending the month before. And housing officials, housing experts are saying that the numbers are consistent with the view that, you know, the pandemic has encouraged potential buyers to move from urban apartments to suburban homes. And now whether that indicates a secular shift in housing demand or may simply represent an acceleration of moves that would have taken place over the next several years remains to be seen. And we know that home prices began to see their big gains last summer as demand from stay-at-home culture descended on the housing market. Record low supply combined with record low mortgage rates caused bidding wars on homes across the nation, and despite the really significant increase in lumber prices that are said to have been a large part of the cause of the increase. Now, with mortgage rates turning higher last week, you know, that's certainly going to cut into affordability moving into the spring market this year if they continue to inch up. But remember, prices generally lag sales. So if sales do suffer, it's unlikely the housing market will see a significant cooling of prices until later on in the year.
We did talk a little bit about this yesterday, but I think it stands to be repeated about gasoline prices are beginning to rise.
And oh, again, man.
Yeah, $2.64 over the past 2 weeks. And according to AAA, the country is seeing some of the most expensive prices in over a year. Of course, we all know with the shutdown of the Gulf Coast and the Midwest refineries, of course, we also know with the shutdown of the pipelines and everything. So I'm sure that all has an impact, and along with lost jobs. And Dave, up there in Pennsylvania, it was $2.90.
Oh, yeah. You know, I went out this morning. I took my daughter to a doctor's appointment for my grandson. And on the way back, we stopped for gas. And, you know, in this day and age, as you're not doing much traveling, it's probably been a good 6 weeks, I bet, since I filled up my tank. Used to do it once every 5 days, I think. And, it jumped to $2.90. And it was like, whoa, where did that come from? The other day I thought I looked and it was 275 or something like that. And I know that's still high compared to what you're getting where you live, Melody. But it's amazing. I mean, AAA says that 2/3 of state averages spiked by double digits. So, but again, when you have close to 40% of U.S. crude production offline, because refineries are closed, you know, there's going to be pain at the pump until operations resume. Jeanette Castellano-McGee of AAA said the good news is nearly two dozen impacted refiners, in Texas, are expected to restart operations this week. And that means regular gasoline deliveries will resume and impacted stations will be refueled. Lowest average price in the country, $2.20 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Average price of diesel up 10 cents to $2.85. What's it like down your way, Melody?
Well, you know, I said this yesterday. I did just get gas a couple days ago, but I don't ever look at the price because it's just something like you. You're not using as much because you're not going out and, you know,
yeah,
driving all over the place. And I mean, I go to work and come back, go to work. You know, that's pretty much it. And so, you know, it's a couple of weeks before I have to fill up. And it's I don't pay any attention to it. But once it gets I think I will, because once it gets over $50 to fill a tank, I pay attention. And I'm right around that level. So I did notice that. It's like, oh, it's getting up to 50 again. So I didn't look at the price per, I go by the what it costs me
to fill the tank. Yeah.
And once it gets to 50, yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. I think mine was 42 today, but I had a little bit left in it. So it might have been close to 50 had I filled it the whole way. And it's been a long time since paid that kind of money at the pump.
But I remember when I was living in State College and filling up the tank cost me $100.
Yeah, a little bit and that, on the high side of gasoline taxes up our way.
Yeah, but that was when, you know, gasoline prices were approaching $6 back there in, during the Great Recession and so forth, when they, right before the Great Recession, when the paper traders pushed oil to $1.50. And he had $6 a gallon for gasoline. That was everywhere. Places were higher. California, of course, those places were pushing $8, $9. And but yeah, I didn't like paying $100 for a tank of gasoline. So hopefully we don't get there again. And I can remember going when it was that high. I can remember pulling into a gas station, and there was this little girl. Well, she wasn't little. She had She was driving a vehicle, but, you know, when you get past a certain age, anybody younger than you is a little girl or a little boy. But anyway, she was driving this truck, and I don't know how we got to talking, and she was saying, yeah, I just bought this truck, and it was before gasoline prices went up. She says, now I can't afford my gas for this truck.
Yeah, a lot of, I remember that happening. People just bought their big new SUV, their Chevy Suburbans, and their Tahoes and what have you, and bam, gas goes up and sit in the driveway.
A lot of them, lost their vehicles in that point in time after that, because then came the Great Recession. But
yeah,
so, and again, inflation, you know, I mentioned earlier in the program, Jerome Powell, he kind of pushed back today on a suggestion that the Fed support for the economy risk inflating a dangerous asset bubble. Instead, he insisted the support was still needed and that investors were responding mostly to expectations for a successful recovery. He writes me up. They always do.
Well said, Jay.
The economic recovery remains uneven and far from complete, and the path ahead is highly uncertain. And, of course, he was talking in front of the Senate Banking Committee today. And he said, although there has been much progress in the labor market since the spring, millions of Americans remain out of work. And just how do they plan on putting these tens of millions, 10 million people back to work? And Toomey, Senator out of Pennsylvania, had asked whether the Fed's policy might be fueling higher asset prices. Monetary policy, I would certainly agree, is one of them, he added, but still needs to be deployed to support the economy until it is fully healed. And unfortunately, it's going to be a long time before we're fully healed, Dave.
Yeah, well, some economists have warned that inflation could take off as vaccines allow consumer activity to pick up and as the government continues to pump money into the economy. But Fed officials have generally played down those concerns. Powell says that inflation dynamics generally don't change on a dime, and that if unwanted price pressures were to arise, the Fed has the tools to push back on them. For now, he said, the economy's a long way from our employment and inflation goals, and it's likely to take some time for substantial further progress to be achieved. Now, Powell also reiterated a pledge to keep up buying bonds at the current pace. That's $120 billion a month until, quote, substantial further progress, unquote, has been made. Powell also said interest rates will remain low, that the Fed's bond purchases will continue at least at the current pace until we make substantial further progress toward our goals, which we have not really been making.
No kidding. And again, I mean, I think everybody sees the writing on the wall. I mean, we have some tough times, and they're not talking about the businesses that aren't going to be reopening. And it surprises me, Dave. I mean, you just don't see anyone stating anything about this. Nowhere. And maybe here and someplace else, but very few. And it's just amazing. And we know that the government reporting for jobless rate, they're still underreporting the real jobless rate, Dave, but at least some of them are getting a little bit closer. I don't think they're being a little more honest, but they might be getting a little more closer. Maybe it's just poor math, but, you know, after it skyrocketed last year, the government's official or headline unemployment rate fell to 6.3%. The top economic officials are increasingly citing a different figure, one that puts this jobless rate at a far higher 10%. The higher figure includes discouraged people who have stopped looking for work. We talk about this all the time. And this disparity between the headline and the expanded rates underlines the unusual nature of this pandemic shock and reinforces the idea that the economy remains far from a full recovery. So now you're beginning to see some of these top economic officials add labor force dropouts and workers who are misclassified to the share of people who are actively searching for work. The BLS tallies how many Americans are looking for work or are temporary layoff midway through each month. And then, of course, that number taken as a share of the civilian labor force is reported as the official unemployment rate, Dave. We're heading into a break, so I guess we'll finish this up when we get back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And, you know, Dave's been taking over the program on Thursdays as it gives me a little bit of a break. You know, it's just really hectic here at the office. And, you know, we're trying to get everybody in and out their product and get everybody shipped. We have enough delays with bad weather and with COVID and everything else at the post office. I mean, some people are still getting Christmas cards as I speak that were mailed in the middle of December. So payments take a little bit longer. So we try. So I appreciate Dave doing Thursdays.
I miss you, but it's fun. It's a labor of love.
All right. Well, if anything major would ever happen, I certainly would join you and so forth. So
good.
Just so the listeners. And talking about product, you know, things are still a little slow. We got some silver Krugerrands that I can offer you at a really good price. You just need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And, you know, we have the Silver Eagles, but there's a little bit of delays. And so we're playing that game again, delays on Gold Eagles. But they're available, and you can lock them in. And I really...
No, I was just going to ask you, how would you respond to a customer's question, how does the price of Krugerrands relate to the spot price of silver?
Do you mean what the markup is?
Yeah. How closely tied to the spot price of silver is, you know, the marketing price of a Krugerrand?
You're looking at Krugerrands. They're running about $5.50 over spot.
Jeez, that seems like an awfully good deal.
$5.50 over spot. It really is when you're considering my price for Silver Eagles are $10 over spot. But if you go online, which would make them all under $40 by a dollar, by what, $3 almost, most online dealers, they're all over $40. Even if you buy 1,500 or more, they're more than $40.
And that premium's still pretty high over compared to
what we used to. Well, let me put it this way: as of the end of December, we were selling American Silver Eagles at $4.75 over spot,
mm-hmm.
and now we're selling them at $10.
Yeah.
So, and again, that's not my markup.
Because you have to.
Yeah, it's not my markup. It's wholesale. It's the mint. It's two wholesalers in there and then me. So wholesalers are the ones that are really pushing the spread, is really pushing the premium high. And people are paying it. So as long as people pay it, people are going to continue to charge. But I do believe, and I've said this before, I think I said it yesterday, last week, and I'll say it again tomorrow or next week, with the mint coming out with the new design, I think the premiums will stay high because there'll be lower numbers to come out prior to the changeover. And then with the new changeover come June, there'll be a big demand because everybody wants the new design.
The changeover to the 2021s, you mean?
No, we changed over the 2021s, but they're changing the design on the back of the silver and gold.
Oh,
eagle.
Right. Yeah, right.
So with the new design, and it's a year kind of like 1921. In 1921, they minted both the Morgan and the Peace Dollar. The Peace Dollar was the new dollar, and the Morgan Dollar was the old one. So that was the 1 year they minted both coins. This year's going to be the same. It's going to be still the Silver Eagle, but it is going to have a different design. So there'll be two types of coins being sold this year, and then next year they should go just to the new design. So it's a heck of a year to be buying those new ones. I mean, either or, really, because there will be limited mintage, I believe. Now, your definition of limited mintage can vary. For the month of January, I think there was 4.7 million 1-ounce silver eagles sold from the mint. And the last time I checked, there was like 2.4 or 7 million so far this month. So, you know, up until, you know, there might still be a lot minted for the year, but.
Oh, my good buddy Emmett, if you're listening, I hope you heard that. Roughly $4.75. You know, if you want a better deal with all the gold and silver you're buying these days, here's the number again in case you've lost it. 1-800-375-4188.
We were finishing up the unemployment numbers. Anything else you wanted to add to that, Dave?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was pleasantly surprised by this. I mean, on the one hand, it's like, what in the heck has taken you so long? But if there's a positive to come out of this, and even if it's just the government economic officials starting to use this more realistic U6 rate that includes the discouraged and misclassified workers and those working part-time for economic reasons, that's better, because at least it's painting a truer picture. It still might not be an accurate one, but it's truer. I mean, we know that the most recent government, when they say official unemployment rate, that to me is so misleading, because most people are going to assume, well, it's official. That means it must be real, must be actual. That's 6.3%. Well, no. As a matter of fact, you include these discouraged workers, and it's actually 11.1%. However, that's just short-term discouraged workers. Discouraged workers roughly more than 6 months. But the long-term discouraged workers, these are workers, a whole category of workers that were literally defined out of existence by the Department of Labor back in 1994. They have, what's that, 27 years? Yeah, 27 years. There's a ton of folks out there. You don't even find them on the BLS reports every month anymore. Our friend John Williams at Shadow Stats says, including them, you'd be taking the unemployment rate over 26%. So, you know, it's, I mean, I guess that's a long-winded way of saying, if we're getting our new Treasury Secretary and perhaps our Fed Chair to start talking about unemployment in terms of the U6 rate, an 11%, well, maybe that'll have some kind of spillover effect, and we'll get mainstream media starting to talk about it soon.
Yeah, Melody, okay. I'm not going to hold my breath.
I know you're always in the mood for a good laugh. That was spontaneous combustion coming out of my brain.
Yes. All right. And it's the same way with consumer confidence up, but, you know, I don't know. I guess it has improved a little more than expected in February. And again, the index rose, the consumer confidence index rose to 91.3 so far this month from a downwardly revised 88.9 in January. So the bigger than expected increase by the headline index came as the present situation index climbed to 92 in February. So, noting that the increase came after 3 months of consecutive declines, Lynn Franco of the Conference Board said, this course reversal suggests economic growth has not slowed further. That reading is probably somewhat of a stretch, since sentiment doesn't necessarily reflect any actual economic activity, Dave.
Yeah, well, the only thing I'd add to that is I found it notable that the percentage of consumers who expect business conditions to improve over the next 6 months fell 3 points from 34.1 to 31 percent. And consumers' outlook regarding the job market was mixed, with those expecting more jobs in the months ahead decreasing from 30.4% to 26.1%. Now, Franco says that vacation intentions, particularly plans to travel outside the U.S. and via air, saw an uptick this month and are poised to improve further as vaccination efforts expand. So we shall see.
I wonder what the... how pulling out that Boeing 777 is going to do to these airlines. If anybody missed it, there was an engine that basically fell off. Where were they leaving? Colorado?
Denver, I believe.
Denver. And they're
Denver
luckily,
for Hawaii.
Yeah. Luckily, they were able to return or land, and no one was hurt. But it's amazing, those huge pieces that fell off this plane. So even Boeing came out and said, if you have any 777s, I don't really call it 777 airliners, you better pull them, not use them.
And yeah, that was some of the photos. Did you see the one photo of a passenger who was sitting by the wing? Just pointed her camera right out, and there was the left engine on fire. That had to be a tad disarming.
Wow.
Reminds me of that old Twilight Zone episode where the guy looks out in the wing and sees this monster that everyone else thinks he's kidding, but it was real. Well, this
William
is worse.
William Shatner.
Is that who it was? Yeah, that's right.
That's the one I remember.
I think he was
the original guy, yeah.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, William Shatner.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, it is. So we're not sure what that will do to Boeing. I mean, especially after they came off their problem with the MAX. And but, you know, hey, Boeing, I believe, is in the Dow 30, aren't they?
Yes, ma'am.
So surprising they're still there. Let's see. Where do we want to go next? Where do you want to go, Dave?
Well, interesting story this morning about gold breaking from interest rates. You want to start it or do you want me to?
Well, you go ahead.
Well, I mean, listeners will know that we told you it wouldn't take too long for gold to rebound. And it takes patience and persistence. And essentially, just a realistic head on your shoulder, plus a lot of nerve these days to stay on course. But gold and silver are your friends, and patience and persistence will pay off over the long run. Now, even though gold was, we'll call it fairly flat today, though it fell a tiny bit after jumping over $25 yesterday, it's breaking its chain with interest rates as prices push back above $1,800 an ounce. And that's even as 10-year bond yields hold at their highest level in nearly a year, around 1.3. Now, according to Joe Foster, who's VanEck gold and precious metals strategist, the battle being waged in the precious metals market, as well as bonds, is between reflation and inflation. Now, although inflation pressures are picking up, they're being overshadowed by expectations that government and Fed stimulus measures are going to help the U.S. economy recover at a faster pace than current forecasts. Reflation is defined as the fiscal or monetary policy designed to expand output, stimulate spending, and curb the effects of deflation, which usually occurs after a period of economic uncertainty or a recession like we've been in. The term's also used to describe the first phase of economic recovery after a period of contraction. Now, Foster, did I mention who? Yes, Foster of VanEck. also noted that although inflation expectations are rising, they're only returning to levels seen before the U.S. economy was devastated before the pandemic and, of course, exacerbated by and during it, Melody.
Well, you know,
go ahead. Tell us how you really feel.
I haven't had enough coffee today. Ask me that next time I have coffee. But, they always go through these debates, reflation, inflation, deflation. You know, everybody has to have a take on what is happening that day. Or, you know, I don't know what, you know, maybe the last 2 months or, you know, they'll take last year and so forth and whatnot. And, you know, the way in today's world on a fiat dollar, you're going to experience all of them. But you have to look to what is the main.
The fundamental.
The main fundamental of and projection of where we're headed. And, you know, it's. What's dangerous is because you can say this reflation, okay, you know, it's going to stimulate, really? It's going to stimulate wages? Well, that's still very inflationary, huh?
No, go ahead.
It's still very inflationary. And when you talk about inflation, it's monetary. It's a monetary, it's been a long day, phenomenon. None. And that's what it is. They're printing too many dollars, this money, they've been able to control it, and they just flat out lie to what the real inflation is. They just flat out lie. And because they lose control, and it has major impacts. And Dave, how do they get away with these lies?
Well,
I mean, pumping $130 billion in the treasuries probably helps somewhat.
Sure. Well, why do they get away with it? Because the rest of us don't know any better. And we're unfortunately reliant upon them to level with us. Show us the money. Tell us the truth. Well, you know, they report these numbers every month, and every month we know, well, depending on the metric, but inflation, underreported, unemployment, underreported, GDP growth, overreported.
That's amazing. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I don't want to talk about Janet Yellen. I'm kind of over her. You know, again, you know, one day she makes a statement that, oh, you know, Bitcoin's bad. The next day she makes a statement. Well, you know, we're going to do a little bit of an investigation about that, that, you know, this is something that the Treasury should, you know, seek a little further. And, you know, like she's really patting it on the back. Then she comes out and says, oh, no, you really got to be careful about Bitcoin.
Hey, but China's getting their digital currency. We surely have to Jones it.
Yeah, really, really. And, of course, this could be her way of saying, well, you on your own, you have to be careful. You're not smart enough to do it on your own. But let us government folks come up with a program, and we're here to help. Mm-hmm. You know, so, of course, you know, that's what will probably happen.
A
so,
digital dollar.
Digital dollar.
No, I just... surmising maybe they just see that that's the only way they'll be able to hold on to the dollar long term as the world's reserve currency. You know, if the world's moving to digital currency, well, then we better look to see how we can make the dollar work in that realm of existence.
You know, let's go ahead and talk about the newsletter article. It's about the Texas power grid. And we talked about yesterday how folks are receiving these outrageous bills, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. Some are even higher than that. And you wrote in your article that leads off in the newsletter with the observation that Texas, you know, in its long history of independence and Tell us more about that. And I always thought that they had their own power grid. So,
well, it turns out they have for several decades. Melody, Texas's rich tradition of call it independence, individuality, dates back to at least the days leading up to its secession from Mexico in the 1830s to eventually join the United States. And nowhere is that independence more evident today than the grid system that supplies power there to homes, schools, and businesses across virtually all parts of the state. Now, there are three grids in the continental U.S. and Canada, and I mention Canada just because they're intertwined. The Eastern Interconnection, the Western Interconnection, and Texas. The Texas grid, as we now know, is known by its acronym ERCOT, E-R-C-O-T, and is run by an agency of the same name, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. ERCOT, however, doesn't cover all Texans, covers the vast majority of them, but El Paso, for example, is on a separate grid, as is the Upper Panhandle of Texas and a portion of East Texas, which are... on others, I believe part of the national networks.
I had read where the separation of the Texas grid from the rest of the country has its origins in the evolution of electric utilities in the early part of the 20th century.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, in the decades after Edison turned on the country's first power plant in Manhattan in 1882, small generating plants popped up all across Texas, bringing electric light to cities there. Later, in the lead up to World War I, utilities began to link themselves together. Those ties and the resulting electrical transmission network grew further during World War II. That's when several Texas utilities joined together to form the Texas Interconnected System, TIS. Now, that move allowed them to link to the big dams across, along Texas rivers, and also send extra electricity to support the ramped-up factories that were aiding in the war effort. But the TIS had another goal directly tied to the state's tradition of independence, staying out of the reach of federal regulators.
You know, FDR signed the Federal Power Act back in 1935, and that charged the Federal Power Commission, the FPC, with overseeing interstate electricity sales.
Yes, exactly. And by not crossing state lines, Texas utilities avoided being subjected to federal rules and regulators' scrutiny and edicts. Self-reliance was also easier in Texas, I mean, especially early on, because the state had substantial coal and natural gas and oil resources of its own to fuel power plants there, and elsewhere. ERCOT was created in 1970 in the wake of a major blackout in the Northeast in November 6th of 65. And it was tasked, ERCOT, with managing grid reliability by applying national standards, but without the perceived burdens of national oversight. And now, almost two decades, after electrical deregulation in Texas, the ERCOT grid remains beyond the reach of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which succeeded the FPC and regulates interstate electric transmission. That is, FERC does, not ERCOT.
Well, you know, I mean, that could be a good thing.
Well, it could.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing. And but you do write that, you know, it could be a double-edged sword also.
Well, it could be, and some would argue we saw the other side of that sword just last week. Some say there's a good reason to think that if Texas were a part of the U.S.-Canada grids, what happened last week could either have been prevented, or its impact, particularly the tragic loss of lives, could have been much less. As we now know, the problem began last Monday when record freezing temperatures along with snow and ice battered most of the state. Demand on the ERCOT grid soared. Meanwhile, the blizzard-like conditions froze natural gas pipes, you know, which are responsible for a large portion of the state's energy, and to a lesser extent, wind turbines. By Tuesday, 45 gigawatts of power went offline, and 3 million Texans were left in the dark and without heat on Wednesday, although some are still out as we speak. The chaos that came next, the sub-freezing temperatures inside houses, icicles hanging from ceiling fans, a lack of clean water, which is sending people 45 minutes to an hour away to buy bottles of water, and food shortages isn't the image that Texas wants to project to the world. Texas has long pitched itself as a business paradise with no corporate income tax, a skilled workforce, and a low cost of living compared to the, you know, East and West Coast. But after last week's perfect winter storm hit and left millions without power and water, Texas, you might say, has taken a body blow to its business-friendly brand.
Well, you know, the crisis that they had, it's got to create a new challenge. And companies will evaluate whether the energy grid failure was an isolated incident. Is that?
Well, that's what I was reading. I mean, we know for one thing, officials, city officials mainly, or county, who are responsible for luring companies to their cities, particularly in Houston and Dallas-Fort Worth, said they suspect the state will work to ensure that this current power failure is a one-time event only. How Texas politicians and their constituents desire to keep the state's grid independent and free from federal regulation in the future will be impacted by ERCOT's mega power outage remains to be seen, especially with these unbelievable surcharges that you mentioned that people are getting their bills. I mean, one thing's for sure, Melody. ERCOT in Texas has a lot of work to do to modernize its grid so there isn't a repeat of last week's perfect storm. What's more, they've got to figure out how to deal with their PR crisis, if you will, now that countless customers are getting these power bills in the thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. One lesson that investors can draw from this incident is what? Be prepared for the unforeseen. You know, as an investor, make sure you have plenty of gold and silver bullion coins in your portfolio when the next market crisis wreaks havoc on paper assets, which, by the way, could be later today or tomorrow. Otherwise, you risk a nightmare similar to the one that millions of Texans are living through as we speak.
Yeah, we haven't heard all the disasters. I can't even imagine the billions of dollars of damage that'll be done to all. I mean, just think of how many millions of homes were without power. And you know, everyone, I'd have to think, Dave, unless they had a fireplace or a generator or something to create heat in the house to keep the pipes from freezing. You'd think everyone that had power loss is going to have a broken pipe, frozen pipe somewhere.
No, it's unbelievable. You just have to have lived through something minor like that to be able to understand what a lot of those folks are going through. I mean, there are reports of, literally thousands, if not more people, neighborhoods coming together with either their barbecue grills or big barrels filling with wood and newspaper and just to provide heat that would be outside the homes, and neighbors would congregate there the first couple of days. What do you talk about all the time? An insurance policy as preparation for, just as part of your overall, call it the sleep factor, promoting the good sleep factor. Mm-hmm. And preparation is key to all of that. Listen, I just want to say before we move on that in Monday's newsletter, Doug Nolan, who writes the credit bulletin, report has some other excellent insights about this crisis that I'd encourage folks who are subscribers, if you haven't yet, read that part of his article.
Hmm. Well, maybe we can bring it and first sign up dgscoins.com and maybe we can bring that to the listeners later.
Sure.
On week. HSBC, you know, the too big to fail HSBC Bank. Well, they're kind of deepening their focus on Asia as they're looking to unload some of its troubled Western operations. They came out and reported that today. The CEO, Noel Quinn, said that the bank would invest $6 billion to expand its wealth management and wholesale banking business in Hong Kong, China, and Singapore over the next 5 years. He also said he was considering relocating some of the bank's top executives to Hong Kong because it would be important to be closer to growth opportunities. Underscoring the turn towards Asia, the bank also said it was considering the sale of its U.S. retail banking network. And they're actually were in talks with potential buyers for its French consumer banking unit. HSBC, which gets more than half of its revenue from China, has come under increasing political pressure from China and Britain over its business operations in Hong Kong, Dave.
This is an interesting development. I don't know much about HSBC other than some of it's been involved in over the years. But the timing of this, I find interesting, don't you? Melody. I mean, on the one hand, you've got reports of throngs of people from Hong Kong leaving their homeland, that where they grew up and have lived, for other places, either Singapore or London, another place in the UK, because of Beijing's crackdown on, excuse me, on some of the liberties there. I wonder what kind of behind the scene is this a matter of HSBC seeing that China, the Communist Party, is going to have more of an influence in Hong Kong in the coming years, and so they want to, in order to be a bigger player in that, they're expanding there now, or what? I just something that came to mind, and I know that I mean, this particular article talks about pro-Beijing lawmakers in Hong Kong have publicly pressured the bank to embrace the Communist Party's firmer grip on Hong Kong. At the same time, we read that London, the UK government, is also pressuring HSBC, who happens to be under continuing investigation for other potential crimes. So, phew.
That is interesting. And I mean, they already do half their business with China. So, hey, we're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
Bye bye.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got the